All right, so as Marcus noted, Pastor Bobby is sick. He was planning on preaching today on Ephesians 4. If you read that in announcements this week, we switched that up yesterday, so and moved ahead 1 week to what we're going to cover in Colossians. So we continue on in that book. And as God would have it in his providence, all this stuff dovetails together. So there's so many ways in which Ephesians 4 and what Paul writes there correlates with what we're going to look at today in the book of Colossians. And so he's going to cover that next week, and we'll continue to talk about what the church is. So let me ask you a question. Do you like wearing smelly, dirty clothes? I mean, think about it. So now I'm not talking about the jeans that you wear for like 1 or 2 weeks straight because they fit well, right? I'm talking about going out, working in the yard, digging, sweating, and then, you know, you come in, you take a shower, those clothes, you kind of hold them out like this, right? And you drop them in the clothes hamper. Can you imagine going back to those and saying, you know what? I love these so much, I'm going to put them on and wear them like all week long because they're just so nice. That's kind of ridiculous. And yet, for us as Christians, when we live in light of our old nature, the old self that Paul talks about it, that's exactly what we're doing. We have a new nature that God has given to us, and yet we regularly go back and put on those old, smelly, dirty clothes. So God, in what Paul has written to us, is telling us and basically asking the question, what are you thinking, right? Why aren't you wearing the new clothes that I've given to you? So I'm not one who is oft for doing visual aids, but as you probably can see, I'm wearing something different than what I started wearing today. In that this is a shirt that I often wear when I'm working, right? So think about this. Me going out, working in the yard, this eventually no longer is clean, pristine condition, right? And so it's a perspective for us to think through, what are we supposed to remove? Because God wants us to take it off and remove it. So I'm using this metaphor because this is exactly the same metaphor that Paul uses in this passage. He talks about putting on, which is the same word for clothing yourself, and putting off or taking off clothes, right? So we want to look at the passage that we are focusing on today, but I also want to go back a little bit to the passage that Tori preached on a couple weeks ago, and which is just precedes this, because this metaphor starts there, and then it's going to continue in the passage that we're looking at today. So if you would, we're going to focus on Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, but if you would, stand with me, and we're going to read, starting in that prior passage, which begins in verse 5. So let me begin in Colossians 3, verse 5, and we'll read through verse 17. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, There is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Please pray with me. Father, I pray that as we look at this passage today, that you would use it to bring transformation to us. We thank you for the new life that we have in Christ because of what he has done on the cross, and his resurrection has given us power to live according to your plan and purpose. May we see that clearly here in this passage. May you speak to us, and that you would use it to transform us, not only individually, but us as a congregation, that we would live out your kingdom values, and you would continue to draw others into your kingdom as a result. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So, again, as I just noted, Paul uses this imagery of clothing in this passage, right? Putting off, putting on is how it's translated, but the phrase put on or put off literally means strip off yourself or clothe yourself. If you want to look at it, there are other passages in the New Testament where that's the reference. And specifically, starting in verse 5, we see some of these things that we are to put to death, right? We talked about that last time we looked at this passage. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then Paul says, you know, in these two, you once walked. We did these things. This was what characterized us. And it's what characterizes the world because of sin that lives in us, right? So I want to take this illustration, okay? Consider this. Those practices that Paul is saying, stop doing these things, that's not our identity, but it's their practices that we do, living out what was our identity, right? So Paul's literally saying, okay, take these things off, right? Remove these things. This is not who you are anymore. Throw them away. Put them to death. How can he say that? Now, it's appropriate that I'm wearing a black t-shirt, okay? Stained by sin. What has God done for us? Paul says elsewhere, I've been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Right? It's as if we've been given a new, nice, clean, white t-shirt. And Paul says in verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing you've put off the old self and have put on the new self. We put on this new, clean, white t-shirt. Now, not to take the image too far, but the black t-shirt's still there for now, right? We still struggle with sin because we still live in these bodies that have been tainted by sin, live in a world, creation that is still tainted by sin, until one day when there will be full redemption. And the black t-shirt's gone, the white t-shirt's all that's there, right? Oh, what a day. But until then, we have been clothed. We now have this new t-shirt that is our character. This is who we are. Why? Because it's our identity in Christ. All this language that we see in this passage here from verse 5 through 17 is talking about identity. And I know I've had lots of conversations with people where they're saying, what does identity in Christ mean? Well, really practically, it means that we become like him. Now, Paul says in verse 5, put off the deeds, the what is earthly in you, what is tainted by sin. He says that because it's possible for us to do that. Paul talks extensively in Romans 6 that it's not... We don't have to live sinful lives. God empowers us because Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is living in us, transforming us. We have a new identity. We are different now than we used to be. And God empowers us to live lives that are pleasing to him and following him. So it's not in our own strength, but it's Christ in us that enables us to do that, and that is our new self. Now, one of the key things about this is we can look at this as if it's just us individually, just me and Jesus. But really, the language that's used in this passage is all plural. It's all talking about who we are as the church, that when we become Christians, when we profess faith in Christ, which again, we do collectively every week here when we take communion together, right? We say we believe this, that Jesus died for our sins, that when we do that, we become members of a new community. That is really the new self. We are now part of the church. We weren't part of that anymore prior to that. And that's what Paul says. All of this turns on verse 11, what he says. Here, in the church, in this body, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ. Christ is all and in all. We all are wearing white t-shirts because of what Christ has done. He has removed the sin from us and enables us to live lives that are pleasing to him. Completely transformed. So it is possible through Christ to live lives fully based on the white t-shirt. Again, it's our identity. The question is, do you and I, do we see ourselves as part of that new self? Because, oh, it's so easy to say, you know, that smelly shirt, it was really comfortable. I really liked it. It fit just right. I've lived in it for so long that I really like it. And we can easily go back to that, try and put it on. That's possible, right? And not just possible, it's probable. We sin. Remember, we still have this black t-shirt under here. It's still something we remember, and sometimes it's very comfortable, but again, that's not our identity. And Paul is saying, don't live in light of that. Live in light of your new identity in Christ. This is who we are. This is what it looks like to be part of the community of God. This is our character. Because we've taken on the image of Christ. He is transforming us through the power of the Spirit. And who Christ is, that's who we are. Because we are in him. It's this mysterious idea that Paul talks about throughout the New Testament, in Christ. that we are, he is transforming us and changing us into who he is. And I think about that in particular. You may have heard me talk about character in the past. We see throughout the Old Testament the character of God, in particular his mercy and his justice, that ultimately is summed up in the word love, because true love is both just and merciful. 100%, not partially, fully just and fully merciful. That's who Jesus is. That's who God the Father is. That's who the Spirit is, that is living in us. That is what is supposed to characterize us. Now, much like our old self, that black t-shirt, manifested in things that we did, that shirt, right? That old stinky shirt. It's their practices. And what Paul says, starting in verse 12, he says, okay, now, don't just get rid of the old stuff. Because you're wearing this new nice white t-shirt, I want you to put on things, right? What are we supposed to put on? Other deeds, activities, attitudes that are in line with this white t-shirt because of who Jesus is. So what does he say in verse 12? Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. He tells us to do these things because of our identity. Because, you can read this maybe differently in the order, because you are God's chosen ones who are holy and beloved. This is identity language. This is who you are. As believers in Jesus, you are holy, which we see that through concept throughout the Old Testament, set apart, the people of God, right? The same favored status that the nation of Israel had, who were nothing of themselves, but God chose them. He called them. He says in Exodus, you were nothing, and I called you out of all the nations, not because you were the best, but because I chose you. The same language of calling. God chose each one of us to be part of this new body, the church. Not because you have anything to do with it, because you're good. I'm not. But God, in his favor, his mercy, chose us. And he calls us holy. Holy and beloved. We have a relationship with God because of who he is and this calling that he has put on our lives. So because of who you are, because of who I am, who we are as the church, now Paul says, okay, because that identity, you've got this new white t-shirt, now that should manifest in different activities, right? It should look different. The church of God should be different than the rest of the world. What is it that it looks like? Okay, verse 12. Put on then, clothe yourselves then with compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. It's highly likely what Paul is doing here in verse 12 is he's actually creating a contrast to what he said in verse 5. Not necessarily direct to each of those elements, but again, different things we used to do, now this is who we are, right? That compassionate hearts. It's the same feeling, and I say feeling literally and as for a reason, the feeling that God has. There's a term. It's a great Greek term. It's called, for compassion, it means, it's called splunknon, right? Really cool. What it really means is your intestines, right? Sounds fancy, huh? But what the reason that this is the case is because in the ancient world, the thought was your emotions, your intestines were the seat of your emotions. And is that not true for us many times? When something really tragic happens to someone, you feel it in your gut, right? It hits you hard. And that's what that means. It's, think about this. We are supposed to have gut-wrenching compassion towards one another, right? He merges these compassionate hearts. It's really compassionate mercy towards one another, which I am pleased to say within Hope Fellowship, we see that happen. We care for one another, which is the kind of clothing that we put on because of Jesus working in us. That's the kind of evidence that people outside of the kingdom look at and say, boy, they're different. They love one another. They have compassion towards one another. He continues on. He talks about kindness and humility and meekness and patience, many of which are attributes of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit working in us and through us in our relationships with one another. And then Paul continues on in verse 13. And now it starts to get real, right? Because again, we're still living these bodies where we sin. It's not our new identity, but it's still our reality. And as we interact with one another, we're going to rub one another the wrong way, right? There are challenges within families, right? You have them. I have them. I cause them, right? So what is it that Paul says? He says, bearing with one another. Now, again, that term is really important. It takes work. Bearing one another. It's a burden. And yet this is what we are called to do. Why? Because of Jesus' example and the forgiveness that you and I have each received. Verse 13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Now, Jesus told us that we're supposed to forgive, right? He told the disciples 70 times 7, which wasn't a literal number, it was infinite, right? Continue to forgive other people. Now, why is the motivation? Paul clearly says in verse 13, just as, in the same way, or because the Lord has forgiven you. Again, we come back to the process, the activity of communion and taking communion together. We all acknowledge, as the people of God, that Jesus died. He died because of our sin. He died to take it away. He gave his physical body for you and me to remove the sins of the entire world. He, as God, did that when he didn't have to, but he did it because of his great mercy for us. And he took all of that away so that we don't have to wear those old clothes. Now, if I've got an offense with somebody else within the church, and if I hold on to it, it's just like me saying, I want to wear those old clothes. And it's like saying, Jesus, yeah, I know that you gave yourself, you died for me, but I'm going to hold on to this. It's essentially putting yourself in God's place, that I am God. I'm the one who is the judge, right? Completely contrary to the people of God because of the foundation of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That his transforming love for us is what we should demonstrate to one another. Now, again, remember I said that doesn't mean mercy with no justice. There's still justice. There's still growth and development. That's part of what true love is working with others, walking alongside so that we grow. There's maturity language in all of Paul's letters that says, as we do this, as we shift our minds to understand that it is the image of God working in us, that's who we are, that as we do that, we become transformed gradually so that we mature and look more and more like Jesus. Much of that transformation happens as we interact with one another. Right? There's challenges as we show love and hold one another up to what God is desiring for us. We are changed. It changes who we are and how we behave, such that I am not the same person that I was 20 years ago. If I am, something's wrong, right? We continue to change, and that's what happens as we interact with one another, as we come together, not only on Sundays, but times outside, as we do work days together, as we rub shoulders with one another, as we do table groups together. This interaction with one another transforms us, and we grow into the image of Jesus. Paul continues on in verse 14, and he kind of gives this summary, if you will. Above all these, put on, it's kind of like, okay, put on another piece of clothing that overarches this, right? Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Now, I said when we started, this dovetails with Ephesians 4 so directly. And in many ways, the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians have very similar messages. Paul is writing them to two different audiences with a slightly different purpose. You know, what we talked about with the book of Colossians is they were dealing with false teaching, right? And in the midst of their situation, Paul has addressed this and say, you need to ground yourself in the truth. Again, what we've been talking about. You are identified with Christ. You are part of a new community. Let me read from Ephesians 4. Bobby's going to talk about or preach on this next week. But just to see how these two correlate with one another. Paul in Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Okay, that same calling language, right? And then he talks about how. How do we walk? How should we live? Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All of this is done so that we operate together, unified, attempting to accomplish God's purpose for us in the same direction. We are all working with one another. It's not, again, it's not just me and Jesus. It is us together, the church worldwide, unified in the Spirit to accomplish God's purpose. It's His kingdom purpose. And as we do so, there's peace. There's peace amongst us, and we bring others who are outside that community into that same peace. Paul talks about this in Corinthians, about the peace that we have as we are reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ. We get to bring other people into that same peace. So many people are seeking for peace, and we have the answer. So, back in our passage in Colossians, verse 14 again, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. In verse 15 again, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. The language is all about the fact that we are unified because we believe in Jesus and who he is. We've been given new clothes. Now we should just walk in them. Not in our own power, but because he enables us to. And because of what we have received, the natural response, last part of verse 15, and be thankful. So Paul's given us this prescription. Put on these new clothes. This is what it looks like. Because you are identified with Christ, you have a new identity. Believe it and live it. Now, I'm not just saying, hey, you think this and it happens, right? There's a philosophy out there that says you believe something strong enough and it's going to occur. That's hogwash. But it is true that we live out our identity, who we believe we are, right? It is true, you've probably experienced it, if you don't believe you can do something, you won't do it, right? But if your belief aligns with reality, you can accomplish great things. Our identity changes how we operate. What we believe about ourselves changes how we act. If we believe that we are transformed through the Spirit of God, we will act differently. Right? Those temptations that come, we say, wait, that's not who I am anymore. I have kind of this default. I get stuck back in that position because it's comfortable. But that's not who I am. God has enabled me to live differently if we choose to do so. But it's how we think about ourselves. Do I see myself as identified with Christ or not? Now, Paul in this passage also talks about what are we're doing right here. What do we do as we gather every week? In verse 16 and 17, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now let's unpack that a little bit, because this is one of the clearest understandings in all of the New Testament about what the New Testament church, how they operated, right? There's a pattern that we follow. When we gather together, we sing together, we praise God together, we look at God's word together, primarily because of this verse, right? It gives us a pattern that we should follow. So Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then he talks about how that happens. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. I hope that's what happens from the pulpit every Sunday, right? But please do not see that this is the only way in which this occurs. What does Paul say here? Let the word of Christ dwell in all of you richly, such that as we engage with one another, we teach and admonish one another. One another is stated in that passage, right? It's not just me or whoever is preaching from this pulpit that declares the word of Christ to the congregation. That happens, right? We look at what God has communicated and we expound it together to understand it. But just as important is speaking the word of Christ to one another. We talk about the importance, the essence of the gospel, that as we engage with one another in the congregation, we are speaking gospel truths to one another, reminding one another about what God has done for us, about who we are, about our new identity in Christ. This is congregational activity, teaching and admonishing. It's not just for those who are preaching from the pulpit. It is everybody's responsibility. Because if we have all put on Christ, the Spirit of God in us enables us to engage with one another and cause one another to grow. Again, it's something that we do as we engage one another in the foyer, as we're talking in Sunday school, as we work together and alongside one another on work days. All of these things are opportunities for us to teach and admonish, right? Fellowship is not just time for us to eat together. It is a gospel activity, right? And we usually have good food. So this occurs for us. And then Paul continues and he says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In the ESV, I think this should be translated a little differently. In that, I think what Paul is saying in the original text is he's actually saying, this is how we teach and admonish one another too. And we translate this spiritual songs. It's not just spiritual songs, songs that are spiritual. We tend to kind of downplay that in our Western ideas. Really, what he's talking about is songs that are led by the Spirit. That as we engage with one another, certainly as we are singing, but as we engage one another, the Spirit will speak through us to one another so we teach and admonish each other. I had a prof in seminary who would jokingly talk about, you know, you start the term, and it's right around that time the fall semester starting, right? You get your syllabi. Sometimes you'll see something in there about attendance. Now, oftentimes when you look at attendance, there's a requirement that you get to check off, right? One of the things that he pointed out, which, not to make it just a theological statement, but the reality is when we don't show up, and he would point this out, when you don't show up in class, you deny the Spirit of God that's in you from engaging with other people. It's the same thing for us. This is why we meet together, because God's Spirit in each of us transforms one another. It's how we do church. It's how we do life together that we are changed because we rub on one another. Sometimes that's, again, challenging, where we forgive and we grow. But this is what life in the church looks like. And it promotes thankfulness in our hearts to God. It's one of the best ways to do that is praising him through singing, right? It's why we do what we do every Sunday. And then Paul sums this up with verse 17 as a summary statement that describes who we are and how we are supposed to live life together, to do life together. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Why? Not only has he died for us and taken away our sins to enable us to live lives that are pleasing to him, but his Spirit lives in each of us. Bobby talked about it last week when we talked about Ephesians chapter 1. One of the most amazing realities in that whole statement of theology there that we see is that the power that raised Jesus from the dead, right? Resurrection power that manifested with the angels, right? It was incredible. It caused an earthquake. Resurrection power is at work in you and me. That is our identity. How amazing. that God transforms us. He will not leave us the way we are. He will transform us into the image of his Son, which is the hope that we have in glory, and we thank him for that every time we meet. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the transforming power of your Spirit, and I thank you for the job that you have given us to do life together, transformed by you, that we have a new identity. We are different human beings because of what you have done, because of the great love and mercy that you have shown to us. And I pray that you would empower us as Spirit-indwelt people to live lives that are pleasing to you, to be unified through your Spirit, that others who are not part of this community will say, man, what is different about them? I pray that as we continue in worship, as we take communion together, we will commit anew to putting on this new self, this new community of God, that we are bound together through your Spirit. That we will commit to being the people of God with that new identity, and that you will continue to change us into the image of your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.